It's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be here. I have my brother David. He called me about four times to make sure I was here. So I'm here. Thank you, David, for making sure I'm here. Okay, right, exactly. It's good to be back here at church. We've been in church about a month. And it's good to be back. It's a beautiful Sabbath day. I know we tend to, everything's negative. You look in the news, everything's just negative. And so I find myself trying to think positive all the time, or positive as much as I can, so I don't get, you know, because of all the stuff that's been going on this year. But I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful you guys are here. Those who are on YouTube, I'm thankful that you're here, and also Zoom. And I pray that, you know, it seems as if our church is getting bigger. You know, every week it seems like more people are more comfortable coming out. So that's a good thing. Shall we pray to open? Dear Lord, I thank you for today and all that you've given to us. I pray that you will be with us as we study your word, Lord. This weekend is Mother's Day weekend. I pray that you'll continue to be with them, guide them. And I pray this message will be an encouragement to not just them, but all of us, Lord. I ask that your spirit to be upon us today, Lord, that we'll receive your word, Lord, and we will internalize and apply it to our lives. I pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen. So, do I just... Oh, there it goes. Okay. Is it the up or down to get to the next one, Sam? Up? Down. Yeah. I just want to make sure. Oh, there it goes. Okay. Okay, there. So as we celebrate Mother's Day this weekend, I'd like to send out my appreciation and respect to all the mothers in our congregation today. Being a mother or a parent in our day is not easy. It can be very difficult with all the distractions, the peer pressures that our kids face, the obstacles that are put in our way as parents, as we try to train our children in the ways of God. I would like to recognize our mothers today for their hard work, dedication, and persevering efforts in raising their children to love and fear God. And even though you may have made some mistakes along the way, I know that God appreciates the efforts that we have made to raise our children in the fear and admonition of God. So with that said, I sincerely believe that as we journey in this pathway of life, as we walk this path of sanctification, we must never come to the place where we can say that we have grown enough in our Christian experience. In the area, whether it's in the area of our health, whether it's in the area of how we relate to others, if it's in the area of being a good spouse, if it's in the area of raising our children or being a support to our children. This Christian journey, I sincerely believe, is about us moving onward and upward in this path of sanctification. And as we look and behold our perfect pattern, who is our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, we will always feel that we are unworthy, and we will inquire how we can come closer and closer to this perfect pattern in our walk with Him. In our Christian journey, I sincerely believe we will always have people in our lives that are close to us that just doesn't include our children, but includes our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, or our coworkers that we would like to see give their lives to Christ or grow in their walk with Christ, where we would like to see them dedicated to God and doing a mighty work for Him, where we would like to see them testifying of God's love for them, and to see them giving glory and honor to Him for all that He has done for them. And I sincerely believe that in order for us to grow in our faith as we walk this path of sanctification, in order for us to see our children or others close to us come to the faith or grow in their faith, we as mothers and as parents and as God's faithful children must do four steps. Number one, have persistent and earnest prayers for ourselves and people close to us. Number two, be a light and example to those who are close to us, always striving to emulate our perfect example, Jesus Christ. Number three, dedicating ourselves and those close to us to God and to his service. And number four, always giving the praise and glory to God for the victories in our Christian journey. So those are the four steps we're going to be focused on today. The first one is persistent prayer. Well, part of the first one. First, I'd like to turn to Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Some of you might know that scripture, Matthew 7, 7 to 11. As we look at this first step of persistent prayer that we need to have to keep growing in our faith and being a witness to others. I look at Danny and we just talked about prayer, right? But we can't get enough of prayer and sermons on prayer, I tell you. Okay, Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Matthew 7, 7 to 11 says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" So here we see that all we have to do as mothers, as parents, and as God's faithful children is to ask for what we need, and it will be given to us according to God's will. We can seek for what we need, and we will find it according to God's will. We can knock on a door that needs to be opened, and it will open for us according to God's will. For we have to have much faith to believe that God can provide our every need. Whether we are asking for our children to come to the faith, whether we are asking our children to come to the faith or to have them grow in their faith, whether we're asking God for our spouses to come into the knowledge of the truth, we must believe that God gives us the things that we ask of him as long as it is for his glory. Colossians 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, verse 2. Says, as we talk about persistent prayer, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So here we see that we must continue in prayer, and while we are continually in prayer, we must watch for God to open the doors for us while thanking him for all he has done for us. You see, we may not see our prayers answered right away, whether we are praying for our children or our neighbors or coworkers, whether we're even praying for ourselves. But what the scripture is saying is that we still must continue in prayer, having the faith that God will answer in his own way and in his own time. You see, he is testing us to see if we will remain faithful to him, as he did with Job. He is testing us to see if we are going to increase our faith or lose our faith, as he did with Abraham in telling him to sacrifice his son. And when we learn to trust God and his plan for us, we can rest assured that he will come through for us and that the waiting period we had to experience will become a blessing. We just went through a big thing ourselves, this pandemic, right? And, you know, it's a test. Are we going to remain faithful, or are we just going to say, forget church, it's closed, and I'm going to go and do my own thing? It's very important for us to understand when God tests us in these ways, he's looking to see if we're going to stay faithful. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here we see that we don't have to be anxious for anything. We don't have to be stressed out for anything. We don't have to be worried about anything. But in prayer and supplication, all we have to do is present our requests before God, and we can trust that God will hear us and answer our prayer in the way and at the time that he sees fit to answer us. We can have the peace of God upon us as we wait for him to answer us, because we know that he will come through for us. We can continue to thank him and praise him while we wait for him to perform the miracles that we have been praying for, and be confident that his promises to us will be fulfilled. Micah 7, verse 7. Micah 7, verse 7. Therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. So here we see that as we look to the Lord to answer our prayers, we will need to wait for him to open the doors for us, to perform the miracles that we have been praying for. But we have to be persistent in our prayers and earnest in our prayers and know that God will hear us. It may not be that he always answers in the way that we expect, but we can rest assured that he will answer us in a way that is best for us and that his name is glorified. My next slide here talks about earnest prayers and being earnest in our prayer. Psalms 141, 1 and 2. Psalms 141, 1 and 2. Psalm 141, 1 and 2 says, Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So here we see that in order to get our prayers answered for our children or for our spouses or for our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, we must cry out to God that he will hear our voice. We must cry out to him earnestly and sincerely and faithfully, that God will know that we want our prayers answered, that we want the miracles that we have been praying for, that he knows that we have the faith to believe that he's going to answer our prayers. And then our prayers will be set before him as incense and the lifting up of our hands as the evening sacrifice. Psalms 119, 147 to 149. Psalms 119, 147 to 149. Psalms 119, 147 to 149 says, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. Here we see that in order for our prayers to be answered, in order for miracles to be performed for us, we are to rise before the dawn of the morning and cry to God for help, because we have hope in his word that he will hear our cries and our pleas to him. Instead of worrying and becoming stressed out during the night, wondering where our children are in their walk with God, instead of worrying and being stressed out during the night, wondering when our spouse is coming back to God, instead of worrying or becoming stressed out during the night, wondering how God is going to perform this miracle or that miracle in our lives, we can instead meditate on his word through the night watches and know that he will fulfill his promises to us. For he will hear our voice and revive us again and give us peace and assurance that he will come through for us. Psalm 130, 1 to 6. Psalms 130, 1 to 6. Psalms 130, 1 to 6 says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. So here we see that out of the depths of our soul, as we cry out for our children to come to the truth, as we cry out for our spouses that they will give their lives to Christ if they don't know him, as we cry out for our relatives and friends to come to the faith, we can rest assured that the Lord will hear our voices. But as it states in verses 5 and 6, we may have to wait on the Lord to answer our prayers. And I know this waiting period can be difficult, but as it says in Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can hope in his word that he will fulfill his promises to us. I sincerely hope that in this waiting period that some of us may have to experience, that we will remain faithful to God, that we will continue to cry out to him day and night, that when he does answer our prayers, we can give him the glory and honor that is due his name. We have a story here, and I like Children's Sabbath School. They must have gotten a heads up about Hannah's story and her prayer. So Hannah was a woman in the Bible. She had great faith. And because of that great faith, her request was granted. Her story is based in 1 Samuel 1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2. So the story begins with a man in the Bible called Elkanah, a Levite. Now he comes from the tribe of Levi, and if you read the Bible, Levi was a son of Jacob. And they were a family, they came from the line of Abraham, and that line continued for those who were going to stay or who God had promised that if they stay faithful to God, that they would be blessed. So Elkanah is a Levite, okay? And God had promised, and he was a man of wealth and influence and one who loved and feared the Lord. His wife, Hannah, loved and feared the Lord as well. And her character was marked with deep earnestness and a great faith. However, the couple was not blessed with a child that could carry on their name. And so Elkanah took on a second wife, and her name was Peninnah. Now, with me saying that, you kind of see that things weren't going in the right direction, okay? This marred the happiness of their home because his second wife was very jealous of Hannah because of Elkanah's love for her. When the whole family would celebrate the sacred festivities at the tabernacle or their church in a place called Shiloh, and thank offerings were given to Peninnah and her children, and a double portion was given to Hannah because she was childless, Peninnah would taunt Hannah because of her situation. She would tease her, and this happened year after year, until finally Hannah wept uncontrollably and left the feast. We will now pick up the story in Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 570 to 571. Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 570 and 571, says, "The burden which she could share with no earthly friend, she cast upon God. Earnestly she pleaded that he would take away her reproach and grant her the precious gift of a son to nurture and train him, and train for him. And she made a solemn vow that if her request were granted, she would dedicate her child to God, even from its birth. Hannah had drawn near to the entrance of the tabernacle, and in the anguish of her spirit, she prayed and wept sore. Hannah's prayer was granted. She received the gift for which she had so earnestly entreated. As she looked upon the child, she called him Samuel, asked of God." How appropriate. "As soon as the little one was old enough to be separated from his mother, she fulfilled her vow. Once more, Hannah journeyed with her husband to Shiloh and presented to the priest, whose name was Eli, in the name of God, her precious gift, saying, 'For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord.'" Here we see how persistently and earnestly Hannah pleaded for a child of her own. She was a woman of great faith, and out of the depths of her soul, she prayed that God would hear her cry for a child and that if he did grant her request, that she would dedicate him to the Lord. You see, you may be praying for a child of your own to love and cherish. You may be praying for your children to come to the faith. You may be praying for your children to stay in the faith and to continue to grow in him. You may be praying for your spouse to come to the knowledge of the truth. You may be praying for a close relative or a neighbor or friend or coworker to come into the knowledge of the truth. And I'm here to plead with you that you must cry out from the depths of your soul, having great faith as you make your request known to God. You must cry out in the morning watches and the night watches, having great faith, never tiring in your cries to him. And even though there may be a waiting period, God will come through for you. He will come through for you in the time and in the way that seems that is best for you. And even if God doesn't, you will understand and know that he is still on the throne. I want to repeat that again. We see how persistently and earnestly Hannah pleaded for a child of her own. She was a woman of great faith, and out of the depths of her soul, she prayed that God would hear her cry for a child, and that if he did grant her request, that she would dedicate him to the Lord. You see, you may be praying for a child of your own to love and cherish. You may be praying for your children to come to the faith. You may be praying for your children to stay in the faith and to continue to grow in him. You may be praying for your spouse to come to the knowledge of the truth. You may be praying for a close relative or a neighbor or friend or coworker to come into the knowledge of the truth. And I'm here to plead with you that you must cry out from the depths of your soul, having great faith as you make your requests known to God. You must cry out in the morning watches and the night watches, having great faith, never tiring in your cries to him. And even though there may be a waiting period, God will come through for you. He will come through for you in the time and in the way that seems best. And if God doesn't, just in case, you will understand and know that he is still on the throne. And after God answers our prayers, we can keep our vow to him, even as Hannah did, that we will dedicate our children, our spouse, our neighbor, our friend, and our close relative to him. We can even dedicate ourselves to him as he purges us from our evil habits and practices through his strength, that we will be so consecrated and committed to God that we will never stray from the path that leads to everlasting life. Let me say that again. I think it's important. And after God answers our prayers, we can keep our vow to him, even as Hannah did, that we will dedicate our children, our spouse, our neighbor, our friend, and our close relative to him. We can even dedicate ourselves to him as he purges us from our evil habits and practices through his strength, that we will be so consecrated and committed to God that we will never stray from the path that leads to everlasting life. And we can pray this prayer as Hannah did, in thankfulness to God for our blessing. 1 Samuel 2:1-10. It gives Hannah's prayer. 1 Samuel 2:1-10. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out of bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From him will thunder against them. For from heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Amen. So now we're going to look at the second step that I believe we must follow to continue to grow in our walk with God as mothers, parents, and faithful children of God. It's found in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 572. I also have some scriptures there as well. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 572. The humble round of duties which women have come to regard as a wearisome tax should be looked upon as grand and noble work. It is the mother's privilege to bless the world by her influence, and in doing this she will bring joy to her own heart. But it is only when she seeks in her own life to follow the teachings of Christ that the mother can hope to form the character of her children after the divine pattern. If the mother fails in her duty to instruct, guide, and restrain, her children will naturally accept the evil and turn from the good. Let her heed the instruction which God has given in his word, and wisdom will be given her as she shall have need. So here we see that it is only as a mother strives to follow the teachings of Christ can they hope to form the character of her children after the divine pattern. Parents and God's faithful children must realize that it is only by their fruits that their children can know the one true God that they are trying to teach them. We must know that it is only by our fruits that our relatives, friends, and neighbors can know the one true God that we're trying to tell them about. For without these fruits of righteousness, the gospel will never have the effect that it should have in the people that we're witnessing to. Proverbs 31, 25 to 31. Proverbs 25 to 31. Proverbs 31, 25 to 31. It talks about some of the virtues of a woman of virtue, a virtuous woman. Okay? Proverbs 31, 25 to 31. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So here we see some of the qualities of a virtuous woman in this scripture. For it says that strength and honor are her clothing. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Many daughters have done well, meaning that we see women today excelling in business and in politics and in many other careers today, but it is the virtuous woman, those who fear and love God, who their children can call them blessed. They are the ones who excel them in all. I'll say that again. Many daughters have done well, meaning that we see women today excelling in business and in politics and in many other careers today. Nothing wrong with that, but it is the virtuous woman, those who fear and love God, who their children can call them blessed. They are the ones who excel them all. Titus 2, 1 through 8. Titus 2, 1 through 8. Titus 2, verses 1 to 8 says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." So here these verses admonish all of us, mothers, parents, and God's faithful children, to show ourselves to be a pattern of good works in all things, emulating the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can show integrity, reverence, and sound speech, not just in the temple of God, but wherever we are. That the older men and women can be a good example to the younger men and women. That those who are opponents of us and are unbelievers will have nothing evil to say of us. This picture reminds me of God's last day church, which will represent him perfectly in word, in deed, and in action, as stated in Revelation 14, verse 12. You see, you may tell me that these commands of God are too hard to follow. You may say that I was raised in a dysfunctional home. You may say that I have this distraction and that distraction that I must deal with, and I can't follow these commands. You may say that this sister or this brother in the church is not easy to get along with. You may say that it is too hard to be a good example to your children. You may say that I won't have any friends if I follow what God has asked me to do. And I will remind you from the word of God that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can win this battle over sin. You can gain the victory in his strength and power. You must have the faith to believe that you can be more than a conqueror. I want to say that again because I think it's just so important. This picture reminds me of God's last day church, which will represent him perfectly in word, deed, and action, as stated in Revelation 14, verse 12. You see, you may tell me that these commands of God are too hard to follow. You may say that I was raised in a dysfunctional home. You may say that I have this distraction and that distraction that I must deal with, and I can't follow these commands. You may say that this sister or this brother in the church is not easy to get along with. You may say that it is too hard to be a good example to your children. You may say that I won't have any friends if I follow what God has asked me to do. And I will remind you from the word of God that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can win this battle over sin. You can gain the victory in his strength and power. You must have the faith to believe that you can be more than a conqueror. Next slide. Hannah, when God granted her request, she dedicated Samuel to God. And this is our next step. Psalm 116, 1 and 2, and verses 12 to 14. Psalm 116, 1 and 2, and also verses 12 to 14. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So here we see that when God has come through for us and has answered our prayers, when he has performed miracles on our behalf, we can now pay our vows to him for all he has done for us. We can dedicate our lives to him more fully and completely, and whatever we have been granted by him, whether it is our children or our close relatives or friends coming to God, we can dedicate to him and know that there will be blessing on us and on those who we have prayed for. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see that all of us, including those we pray for each day to come to the truth, can truly be a blessing to others and can be found worthy of their calling, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in us. Colossians 1, 9 to 12. Colossians 1, 9 to 12. Colossians 1, 9 to 12 says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." So here we see that once God has answered our prayers in bringing our children back to the faith, or has answered our prayers in helping our spouses to come into the knowledge of the truth, or answering our prayers for our close relatives or friends to come into the knowledge of the truth, that we should not cease praying for them and dedicating them to God, that they will continue to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, and being fruitful in every good work. God can truly work for us in this manner, even as he did for Hannah, if we have the faith to believe that he can perform this miracle on our behalf. We're there to the last step here. So our last step that we need to review is giving praise to God for all he has done for us, even as Hannah did when her prayers were finally answered. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15 states, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So we must continually give thanks to God, even when we are still waiting for him to answer our prayers, knowing that he will have our best interests at heart and that he will come through for us. Psalm 34, 1 to 4. Psalm 34, 1 to 4 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." So here we see that we must bless the Lord at all times, good or bad, and his praises should continually be in our mouth, because we have sought the Lord, and we know that he hears us and will deliver us from all our fears. Our last scripture today, Psalm 103, 1 to 5. Psalm 103, 1 to 5, as we talk about praises to him. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." So it's important for us to bless the Lord at all times, because he has been so good to us. He has healed, he's forgiven us of our iniquities, he's healed us of our diseases, he's redeemed our lives from destruction, and has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Let us bless the Lord today and always praise him for his loving kindness to us. In closing, since it's Mother's Day, my mother isn't with us anymore, but she was a strong person. She raised four of us to love and fear God. And in her prayers, she dedicated all of us to God. She was always praising God for all of his goodness. But there's one thing that sticks out to my mother that I won't forget, that she lived what she preached. And honestly, that's kept me here in the truth my whole life. She lived what she preached. And I think out of all the steps, that is the most important that we need to remember as parents, as mothers, and as God's faithful children. I want to again commend all our mothers on this Mother's Day weekend for all of your hard work and dedication to your children and the upkeep of your households. I know it's not easy, but I also want to say that God wants us to gain more victories and have more successes in our walk with him. For the Christian journey is a journey of growth and always moving onward and upward. So if we still have children not in the faith, let us make it our goal to cry out to God even more in the early morning or late at night, if needed, that the Lord may hear us. Let us strive to be the example that God has called us to be to our children, that they can know God by our fruits. Because by our fruits, they will know us. Let us dedicate our children to God that they may be so committed and consecrated to him that they will never stray from God when they get older or if they are coming back to God. And let us always praise God for all he has done for us, even when our prayers haven't been answered as yet. And when we follow those steps, I know that God will come through for us and he will perform great miracles for us. May we have great faith that he can move these mountains for us. May God continue to guide and direct us as we walk this path of sanctification that will lead us to everlasting life. Shall the praise team come?
Please stand with us as we sing our closing song. The title of the song is Marching to Zion. We should be marching, not walking. So what's the meaning of those two? We will march with eagerness, with endurance, because God is, and the song that we sang earlier, what a day that will be. All right? So let's sing Marching to Zion.
Who never knew our God.
our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will continue to guide and direct us, Lord, as we travel this Christian journey, Lord. I pray that we will stay faithful to you. I pray that we'll continue to look to you, our perfect pattern. Even though we may fall, we may get back up again and continue to persevere in our prayer and in our walk, Lord. That we can be a light to others, we can lift them up when they fall, and that we can truly join you in your everlasting kingdom one day. I pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen.